Okay.
Vayavo chol ish asher nisol libom, and they arrived. Every man asher nisol libom whose heart was uplifted, v'chol asher nad v'libo ruchoy oisai, and every person whose spirit was in the giving mood was nadva. Nadva means a gift. Oisai heviu es trumas Hashem, they brought the trumas Hashem. All these people come, their hearts were uplifted. All those people whose spirit motivated them to be in a giving mood, they brought the Trumas Hashem, the gift for the work of the Oil Moed, of its work. So let's see what it says over here in the Targum. Targum it says, Maisim Guvraya al. I'm sorry, it's the wrong pasuk. Pasuk Chavaluf. Va'asoi kol gvar. Asoi means a cane. Kol gvar is every person, the Israel libe, whose heart uplifted him. V'chol di ashlemas ruche. So if you notice over here in the Sefaria, for whatever reason, the word ashlemas is in bold. Okay, so the word over here, nadva ruchoi, the word nadva is translated lashon of shlemus. Ashleimas, which is not the typical translation. The word nadava means a gift. Shleimus means completion. Let's see. Yosei, I see, so they brought Yos Afrish, or so they brought the separation. Kodom Hashem, that's not a question. Kodom, the Targum never translates Hashem literally. Hashem always, the Targum always puts before Hashem's name a word to create a separation. Lavidas Mishkan Zimno, the Mishkan Zimno. We always have this before, the oil made. The Moed, we usually like to translate it as the tent of meeting. The Targum always translates the Oil Moed as a temporary. Moed means a temporary structure. Okay, L'chol pul chonei, all of the work, v'lil v'shei kutsha, and the holy clothing. Okay, let's first see Rashi, then we'll come back and try analyze. How do you like that? There is no Rashi. Okay, so we have over here the word ashlemas. The word ashlemas in this pasuk is an unusual word, and over here he tells you to go look somewhere else. So we're not gonna get much from there. But there is another word over here that over here in the sefer he does take issue with, and that is the word de isri, asher nisoi liboy, every person whose heart lifted him up. The Targum translates the word nisa'o, that I translated, lifted. Now, by the way, look at the English. The English, it says, and everyone who excelled in ability. What in the world does that mean? The English translator decided that this term, nisa'o libo, means excelled in ability. Really? I mean, that is a very interesting translation, to say the least. Okay, who says the people were capable? Who says that the people over here, they were capable people? It just means they were very generous people. Over here in the Targum, it says the Isri'i, their hearts libe. He keeps the word heart. He does not delete that word like the English translator did. And the word the Isri'i is an unusual word, which is not so silly. I'm not so sure what the Isri'i. I'm reading over here, it says here, Targum Nisol Libo Lufi Akavana, Disri Ishu Kamon Nidiv Lev, generosity. Okay, the Isri does not mean to lift up. He goes further, Avladas Ramban, Nisol Libo Enochoizer Al Hamisnadin, Ella Oisam Lochov, Akavana Shagambo, Shagoval Libo Bedarki Hashem Vihirgish, Benavshoi, Shabitivoi Lasois Hamelocha. Alright, so he's saying over here an idea that Vayovo Kolish Asher, when it says Asher Niso Libo, is it going on the people who are doing the work or on the people who are giving the donations? There are two different types of people that are needed in the Mishkan: money, donors, and volunteers. So when it says Vayivo Kolish, every man Asher Nisa'o Libo, the Targum he seems to say is V'chol Gevar the Israeli bay, the Choldi Ashlemas Ruche Yosei, I see so they arrived. Ashanod the Osoi Ruche Osoi, he view they brought. As Chumas Hashem Lumlachas El Moed Luchol Avoy the Soul of the Akkadish. Alright, I'm not sure what he's saying over here, but there's a problem. He writes here that the Ramban says, Vecholish Hashem Nisol Bo Kama. According to the Ramban, Mr. Rapport, you're a big fan of the Ramban. According to the Ramban, he's quoting here in the Ma'atzar of the Ramban to shed some light on what exactly the Targum is trying to say. Targum, the Rambani quote says, the word nisolibo is referring to volunteers. I never knew this. When I learned the pasuk, I always thought that we're describing the donors, the rich people, the philanthropists, the gevirim. These people who their heart was overcome with a spirit of generosity to give a donation, $1 million, $10 million, $5 million, $1,000. Now the problem with that interpretation is then we have repetition, because it says nisolibo, and then it says again v'cholish asher nodva ruchoy. What is the difference between nisolibo and the word nodva ruchoy? What's the difference? Another ruchoy is a heviu they brought as chumas Hashem, the gift l'mleches oel moed ulechol avoydaso ulevidei hakodesh. Now the end of the pasuk clearly indicates that we are describing materials, money. And what is juxtaposed to the end of the pasuk is the word nodva ruchai, which means a nodva, a gift, their spirit. So it would seem that the end of the pasuk, v'chol asher nodva ruchai oisoi, any person whose spirit overcame him to be generous, he viu, these people came to the mikdash and brought cash. As Chumas Hashem, a gift, an uplifting to Hashem. What do you need? You need money. L'meleches oil moyet, for the melacha, u'lecho avoy l'soy, u'levidei ha-kodesh. They're giving money, Chumas Hashem. Therefore, so why then do we need this part of the pasuk, kol ish asher niso libo? This refers to workers. Their heart aroused them to volunteer to be a craftsman, to bang in nails, to plow the earth. And what's very interesting then is that this English translation is not so bad anymore. Okay? Not so bad anymore. And everyone who excelled in ability to do what? To work. And everyone whose spirit was moved came, bringing to Hashem. So it's, according to the Ramban, this goes together. Everyone whose spirit was moved brought to Hashem, not bringing. Brought to Hashem. He view, they brought. As Chumas Hashem. Okay, they brought money. Now, with all that said, there's no Rashi, but there is a Targum. And now, when you look at the Targum, it has a little bit more interest. V'aso kol gvar d'Israel libei. Okay, who, I don't know what the word d'Israel means. What it really means. Okay, we have to leave with this. Let's try to go further. Maybe we'll learn further, we'll become more clear. Pasuk Habez. Vayavoho anashim al hanashim. That's a very interesting expression. The men came and they were stepping on the woman. They were standing on the woman. That doesn't make any sense. It means al means with. Call every nidiv lev, every generous person. They brought choch, vonezem. Now we have all these different types of jewelry. They brought a choch. We'll see in Rashi what these things are. Vonezem. Rings. What kind of rings? We'll see. The tabas, the chumas, kol kli zahav, all the golden utensils, v'chol ish asher heinif tunufas, would wave, the waving of gold l'Hashem. Now, we translate this, and we don't really know what it means. We just make believe we know this, but what's going on? Let's go to the Targum. U'maisein guvraya al nishaya. The men brought al nish, doesn't really explain. Called the Israeli bay, everyone whose heart was uplifted, I si'un. Here, sheirin. Sheirin means silk. V'shechvin. Okay, sheirin means silk, no? Shechvin, I don't know what that means. V'izkan, umachuch. We have to see what this means. Kol mon, v'dahav, v'chogvar, di'areim, aramos, v'dahav, kodem Hashem. Everyone that brought a waving, aramos means a waving of gold. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Al Hanoshim means im Hanoshim, with the women. Usmuchim Aleihem. Chach, what's Chach? So he says, Chach is a tachshit shel zahav ogol, nosun al hazroya v'chu atzamit. Chach is a bracelet. Okay, a bracelet. Chumas, kli zahav hu nosun k'neged oisai makom l'isha. Okay, I don't know what this is. I really don't know what this is. Okay, ois makom l'isha means, I guess it means the makom of the erva. What else does it mean? And is a kli zahav that is put in that location. I really have no idea what this is. Never understood, and I don't even want to know. Rabbi Seinu Perishu, Shem Kumaz. What's the word Kumaz? Kan Mekoyim Zima. This is the place of Zinus. Can you pronounce it? The place of Zinus. What does that mean exactly? What in the world is going on? What kind of thing is this? What's going on? I really have no idea. Maybe we'll see. Okay. So we're over here. They brought bracelets. Nezem would appear to be earrings. Tabas means, I guess, rings one puts on their finger. Kumaz is a ornament that was put on the lower portion of a woman's body. Kol kli zahav, the chol ish, every man asher hainifet would wave. A tenufas, a waving of zahav. What does that mean? A bar of gold? What exactly does that mean? It's not really clear. It doesn't really say what this is. All right, so now let's go back to the Targum and let's see over here what this means. The women over here brought. Okay, now over here, mason. Now here we have over here the word. Now here he explains it actually. The word, the Isra'i. The word the Isra'i, we had in the passage before, was the same exact word as I had before. No, it's not. It's Nediv. Sorry, Nediv. Now here is the problem. Here we have to go slow. Here's the problem. We have a problem right away. Here it says, here's the word Nediv. Go back to the previous pasuk. In the previous pasuk, it says, Nodva. Nodva and the word Nediv are the same words. Same word. Nun Dalad Beis. Nodav. Nediv, Nodva. It's the same word. Here, in this pasuk, the Targum translates the word to mean Ash Lemas. Complete. Whoever had a complete spirit. And in this pasuk, he translates the word Nediv, De Israe. Now, De Israe means to want, a desire, Rotzim. Now, the problem is, here he translates the word Nediv to mean to want. And in the previous pasuk, the Targum translates the word Nisa'o to mean De Israe. So, what is it? Here it says Niso means the Israel. And then when it says Nodva, it means an unusual word, which means Ashlemas. And in this pasuk, the word Nediv suddenly means the word means the Israel. And that's it. What's going on over here? Okay, so this is a problem. So here in the Ma'atzari, it says as follows. He says here, the Israel Libe Asher Nirtso Libo. Nirtso, now, he writes over here, Lamed Kuf, I don't know what that means. The O Tirgim Nidova Nidvasop. Avokan Shemusav, a low cost, Avokan Shemusav Alalev, Targum Akulashin Rotsoin, Shein Nidivus Kimur Benesina Ela Eitzalashem Shemisrach Lavadin. So he's coming to give an answer. His answer is, it's a very, very good answer. He's giving a brilliant answer. In this pasuk before pasuk Chaf Aleph, where is the word Nisa'o juxtaposed to? The word Libo, the heart. In the previous pasuk, when it says the word Nodva, it doesn't say Leiv, it says Rucho. In this pasuk, it says the word Nidiv next to the word Leiv. So in other words, the Targum is telling us the word, the Israel, will is referring to the heart. Now the heart can be a nidivlev or it can be nisa'o libo. The word nisa'o or the word nidiv is swallowed up by the word lev. Lev and libo means will, desire. So the heart can have a desire, and we can use the term nisa'o, or the heart can have a desire, can have an expression through the word nidiv. It doesn't matter. That is a minor point, according to the Targum, whether it's going to be nidiv or it's going to be nisa'o. The main thing that's important is the word lev. And if that's the primary word, automatically when we're describing an emotion of the heart, the translation is going to be the Isra'e, a desire. Okay, so that's very important. So that right away opens up a whole new word of a challenge. What then does the word nida, what does it mean then, rucho? If the word libo means will, desire, so when it means rucho, what does that mean? Person that Yoshua was Ruach Elokim, the Spirit of God. What does it mean? What does it mean? It's a Ruach. It means Avi Sabina. But over here, this is a very powerful idea. It's a very interesting idea over here. Is that we have two different expressions, and the thing that brings them together, according to the Targum, it's Megala, the word Disra means desire. It's following the word Lay. Okay, now the next thing, let's just discuss some of the jewelry. The jewelry over here. Choch. According to Rashi, the word choch means a bracelet that goes on the arm. According to the Targum says the word choch was sheirin. What is that? It is basically, it appears to be it's the same thing. And he explains the word sheirin is a very important word, comes from the word sheir, or better, all the way around. When we use the word she'oz yoshir Moshe uvnei Yisrael as a she'ozos Hashem v'yimuleimar. Why is a song called a song? So the answer is, the word shir is a borrowed word. It comes from a bracelet. What is the unique characteristic of a bracelet? It's called a shir. A shir basically means a circle. And a song, to a degree, is a circle. Because in a song, you go up and you come down. And you go up again and you come down. There is a symmetry. There is a process of going up, going down, coming back to where you started. Therefore, we borrow the term shear from a bracelet, which is a circle. Over here, he writes shear is a tachshit, b'tzuras tabaska, the levloshon hamikra v'hasheros. And Yeshaya, it enumerates 24 items of jewelry that a woman wears when she gets married, and one of those items is what's called the sheros. And that means bracelets. Now the Ein Rochak Nigzar Mehamila Shur Asher Hu Choyma Ba'avur Hekifu LeMedina. Okay, and he's giving us another suggestion that the word Shir comes from the word a Shura. What is a Shura? A wall. Typically in ancient times, what did the walls do? The walls were built in circles. The walls surrounded the circumference of the city. Now, sometimes the walls were built as squares, but sometimes the walls were built in a circular fashion to encircle a city. So there's a shura, is a row, or really it's like a wall, and it encloses, it provides protection on all four sides. So to the word sheros, or shear, is a circle, a bracelet that goes around the body, around the arm. And by extension, a song also has some type of relationship to a circle, so we call it also by the same term. Okay, now problem here is, there's another problem over here, is that over here we call a shear, he calls it a shear. The word choch, Rivka, he translates the word the word shear. The word, we have two more words. We're getting into a lot of problems now. Rivka, after Eliezer realized that she is the shidduch for Yitzchak, he gave her shnei tzimidin al yodeha. Tzimidin. Now there we like to translate the word tzimidin to mean bracelets. The Targum there translates the word tzimidin as shear. The same exact word. Later, in Parshas Matos, when the Jewish people went to battle and they came back with spoils of war, and Moshe says everyone should give the spoils of war to Hashem. What were the spoils of war? one of the items was an Etz Adah. And what is an Etz Adah? An Etz Adah was some type of belt that a woman wore around, I guess, their waist. So there, it's a different piece of jewelry. So we have a problem. We have three different types of jewelry, pieces of jewelry. One is a bracelet. Oh, well, one is called, well, three different words. I shouldn't say bracelet. We have three different words. One is a tzamid. Tzimidim. One is an etz odor. And the third is a choch. A choch, etz odor, and tzimidim. Tzimidim. Three words. And the Targum translates all three words exactly the same. How could that be? How could a choch, an etz odor, and tzimidim, in plural, tzimid, how can all three be translated as the same generic term, shear? How could that be? Okay, so he says over here, he doesn't answer the question. So what does that lead us to suggest? It leads us to suggest that they're not all the same. They're in different parts of the body. And he explains as follows. It seems to be that according to the Targum, all three items are exactly the same. And in Parshas Toldos, Parshas Chayei Sarah, when Eliezer gives to Rivka jewelry, he gives her a bracelet. And here, it says that they gave to the Beis HaMikdash bracelets. And by Melchemes Midyan, they gave bracelets. And yet, each of these three examples, the word in the Torah is a different word. How could that be? So, because of that question, he wants to make a following suggestion. He's really basing this upon the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, that they're not the same. They're all bracelets, but they're put in different parts of the body. Okay, the Hatsa Adois, the Shei Riglayim, Loshan Benoi Suado, the Zroya. So he seems to say is one goes on the leg. Okay, it's not so clear. The question is better than the answer. He wants to maybe suggest that one of these rings, it doesn't really mean they put the ring around, a bracelet on their arm. It was a bracelet they put on their foot. How do you like that? Do women, is there such an industry today where women, where they manufacture bracelets for the feet? You put a bracelet on.
What? Call them ankle bracelets.
Yeah, for people go to prison.
No, not those.
So what? They actually make an ankle bracelet? Is such a thing? They make. I thought you were joking. I think the person goes to prison.
No, I'm not joking. They I don't know. It's popular, but they look, Rebbe. They say, have nose rings. You ever see these kids today with the nose rings, the tongue rings?
Oh,
this is a mishigas, but that's the way it is.
So the nose and rings.
Earrings are passe. You know that's old stuff.
Oh, we learned last week that the men wore earrings. They wore earrings, and then we learned a whole shot because an earring represents, it was the place on the body where they would put identification marks. Who you are. That's how people were identified. They put in a mark on their body. This is a slave. This is a whatever. So to decorate that place, oh, you're proud of who you are. They would decorate that mark on the ear. Okay, that was what we learned last week. Okay, but we didn't learn about nose rings yet. And over here we're learning about different types of bracelets. There's a bracelet which goes on the arm, and there's a bracelet which goes on the foot. So he's trying to suggest that therefore, even that's why the Targum generically, he always translates the word, anything round that goes around the body is called a shear. But the reason why in the Torah we have different words, Hebrew words, is because these are round items which go around the body, but they are put on different parts of the body. On the ankle, on the wrist, maybe around a person's waist, that's like a belt. And they all have the same concept where it surrounds a part of the body. It's very interesting in general. This is a very general concept, I think, is that you find very often, we have over here another, like, the word, the Isra'e. So we're learning Unkelus. Unkelus, it appears in Targum, he limits the vocabulary. We have this every day, where the Targum takes multiple words. So, the Lashon HaKodesh is not a large language. It's, in fact, one of the smallest languages in the world. Lashon HaKodesh has a very limited vocabulary. Biblical Hebrew does not have all that many unique words. I don't know what the numbers are, but if you go do a study, go type it in Google, you'll probably find us in Google very quickly. How many words are there in the English language? How many words are there in the Spanish language? How many words are there in Latin? How many words are there in every single language? And the other languages have thousands. I mean, a crazy amount of words. How many of them are used colloquially? People speak in their everyday language? Not so many. The average person does not have a very large vocabulary. The average person uses a few hundred words at most, and that is his entire vocabulary. When a person writes in his subconscious mind, he's aware of many, many, many more words. And when he has an opportunity to sit down and think, then in writing, a person will express himself with a richer vocabulary. But the spoken language is usually very limited. That's the way it is in society. In Lashon HaKodesh, it's even less. It's a very, very small language. There are not all that many words. And yet, the Targum, we find this very often, he will take multiple words, which are very similar, and he will translate it into Aramaic with one word. We have three words, an etzada, a Tzmid and Achoch. Three very different words. And we know that in Hebrew, a word, or the letters of a word captures everything. And yet the Targum reduces these three words into one word, into the word Shir. I mean, that's a very interesting thing the Targum does. Okay, so far we learned over the word Choch. Choch is a bracelet. That's what Rashi says. And the Targum calls it a shear, which also is a bracelet. Then we go to the next word, a choch nezem. It says here in the Pasuk HaBeis, they put the choch for nezem. In the Targum, translates the next word, they brought sheirin, v'shabin. What is shabin? Tzarechi. I'm ready over here, you don't have this. Shekanu Targum nezem. Midbar who took him tzamid. Wow, this really gets complicated. Tzamid. V'oid hei nizme nezem miturgum v'od hare nezem miturgum kotsha. This is not the right translation. Okay, so he asked the question that the real translation of the word nezem is ketsha, like kodesh. And to make things worse, in Bamidbar, when it came to the jewelry of the women of Midian, there, the Targum has a different translation. All right, so we're going to leave with that. Okay, we have over here this word, which we're assuming is an earring, a nezem. Okay, next comes with the tabas. How does he translate the word tabas in the Targum? Izkan. Okay, that's a word I think which many are happy with. And the last one is the most difficult word is. The kumas. What is the word kumas? Machoch. The Targum translates the word kumas. Remember, Rashi said the word kumas means kan mikoim. Here is a place of zima, of zinus, of sin. Okay, it's an ornament that was put in the vicinity of that part of the body. And the Targum translates the word machoch. What is machoch? It's to laugh. It means to smile. Okay, it is. Let me read you over here. Kuma zedufus shel beisarechem. Amar Rabbi Yosi ki hechi ihachi. Hay deverim el machoch. Dabar hamevi legichoch. Something which leads to laughter. Now, over here, the word laughter means in a very bad way. A person is engaging in activity that brings him pleasure, but a forbidden pleasure. The word machoch has a connotation of forbidden pleasure. There are words that, that connote permissible pleasure. For example, the word simcha, the word sechoik. What's the expression? Liyoyim acharoi. Okay, there's going to be sechoik. Sechoik with a sin is yitzchok, sechoik with a tzadi, and there is sechoik with a sin. Liyishok. That has a connotation of a pleasure, a hana, a laughter that is permitted, and in fact, it is something very noble. The word machoch in Aramaic has a connotation of a type of happiness that comes from the result of doing an avera. And this is what they are donating to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, you have to right away ask the question, so this begs the question, this is in fact is discussed. Everyone knows about the Maroi Satsoivas. Later in the parsha, we learn about the Kiyar. The Kiyar was in the last week's parsha, I don't remember, the last parsha, this week this was the Kiyar, but it says the Maroi Satsoivas. It's going to mention that expression, I think, in this week's parsha, at the end of the parsha, that the women, the Kiyar was cool, they made the Kiyar with bronze mirrors. And what were those mirrors used for? They were used for the Yetzirah. When a woman wanted to arouse her husband, so they would use these mirrors and she would tease her husband and say, I'm more beautiful than you, and this and that. Rashi discussed this, so the mirrors were used as a tool between a man and a woman, and Moshe Rabbeinu thought they were disgusting. It's not appropriate to take an object of object that was used for the Yetzirah and to use it for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted to reject it, and Hashem told him, no, do not reject it, use it, because it was only through these mirrors did Klal Yisrael reach a number of 600,000 men and 3 million people in the desert. So therefore it is precious to me. Okay, fine, so we see such a principle. Now the word kumaz, according to what Rashi is saying, and what the Targum seems to agree, I mean Rashi is really taking from the Targum, it means machoch, it means a laughter, which comes from the Yetzirah. It would not seem appropriate to take this object and use it for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, for the Mishkan. To take the gold from this ornament that was positioned on a woman in the place of Avera, Kan, Mokoim, Zimo, and to take that gold and to use that gold to go build the Mishkan, to go give the gold for the Kruvim, for the Aron HaKodesh, to plate the Kroshim, doesn't make any sense. Chazal, they go berserk when it comes to the mirrors. What's the big deal? They have a mirror. You look in the mirror. What kind of Yetzirah already do with the mirror? The mirror, all of a sudden, they go berserk. The mirror, ay, gewalt. The woman looked in the mirror, looked at her husband, the husband and the wife, and this and that. How could you use this with the Beis HaMikdash? Hashem says, calm down. You can use it. How come we don't find any discussion with regard to the kumaz that Rashi says explicitly is an object of beauty that was positioned in a certain part of the body which represents Zima? I mean, this whole thing is so bizarre. We don't even know what this is. What is going on over here? And there's no discussion that this is something which is problematic. Okay, Kan Mokam Zima. So here, what does he say over here? He says over here, Mokhoich, Oma Rabbi Yosi, as we said that before. Okay, and Yushalmi says even more graphic things about this graphic. It's a sapella. And over here, he doesn't want to touch it. He doesn't want to discuss what in the world is going on over here with this thing. Yeah, over here, four different types of coin, and obviously these four different types are very symbolic. We have bracelets which go either around the arm or the leg, or maybe even around the waist. We have a nezem, which appears to be an earring. We have a tabas, which goes on the finger, and we have a kumaz. And then we have this bizarre type of ornament, and then it says kol kli zahav, other gold utensils. Very, very bizarre what exactly these things are. Now let's first look at the positive, maybe we'll look at the safer. The aremas, that was waved. Okay, doesn't really explain the significance The only thing he says over here is that when they brought it, when they brought these gold donations, Aaron picked them up and he waved it in six directions. Just like we waved the little Vanessa in six directions, so too when they gave these donations, the chol ish asher heinif tenufas zohav l'ashem. Now, if we read it back in I don't remember which parsha, in this parsha's Truma, Rashi there taught us that there's a difference between the word heinif and tenufa. I think heinif means you wave it in six directions, in four directions, north, west, east, north, south, east, west. And tenufa means up and down. So these words, every man, asher, heinif, four directions, tenufas is up and down, zahav l'Hashem. Question, why is it that only with regard to the men do we describe the waving, and with regard to the women, we don't find any waving done, any at all? With the men, we don't find a discussion, a mention of what exactly they donated, but with the women, we're told exactly what they donated. Haloi davar. I mean, we're missing pieces of information over here. The women brought four very specific items. And then it says in other things, kol kli zahav, then it wraps up a fifth item, kol kli zahav. And it doesn't tell us that it was waved. And then it says, v'chol ish, every man, asher heinif, he brings gold, tenufa zel Hashem, and it doesn't tell us what he brought. What did he bring? What did the men bring? Did you bring your earrings? Did the men bring, I don't know what they have. They have your gold watch? Did they bring their the atara on their talis, the gold atara? Did they bring their becha? What did they bring exactly? All it says is that whatever they brought was waved. We're missing over here some very important information. And the Targum in this pasuk, what does he say again? Targum here, he says, umay san guvraya. Okay, I don't know why that's in bold. Al nishaya, called the Israel, whatever they wanted. They brought whatever they wanted. The Anoshim came with the women, and they brought whatever they wanted. Heviu, they brought, these are women's ornaments. Choch, Onezem, V'tabas, V'chumaz, Kol Kli Zahav. He describes them. And then it says, Chogvar Di Areim Aramus Dahavo Kod Mashem. It's not really giving us any explanation at all. Okay, let me peek now in this Sefer. This Sefer and the other Sefer, Parashas Vayakel, maybe he'll give us some insight. I'm not counting on it, but you never know. Pasuk HaBeis. Okay, here we go. So he talks a little bit about, let me come back over there. All right. Oh, wow, he has a lot of stuff here. Okay, he has a lot of stuff. Let's try to go. I'm going to read it to you. You don't have it on your screen, but I'm going to try to read what's over here. Okay, let's see. Okay, he writes over here. Okay, so the women, he's coming to answer our second question. Women, when they give donations, they give jewelry. Men, when they give donations, they give cash. This is very, very interesting. Why is this interesting? And we go to Pidyon HaBen? By Pidyon HaBen, what is the meaning? What is the meaning of Pidyon HaBen? I think over here we're on to something very important. By Pidyon HaBen, there's a minhag where women take off their jewelry and they put it on the tray of where the baby is. They have a baby, right? They put the baby on a tray and the women put their jewelry on the tray with the baby. Isn't it a little strange? It's very strange. And especially when you tell the woman to do this, they think you're crazy. I'm not putting off my earrings. I'm not taking off my necklace. I'm not doing this. And then somehow they're shamed into doing this. Do the men give anything? No. And so what are you going to say? Why are the women putting the jewelry on? Why are they putting the jewelry on the baby? On the tray where the baby is? Why are they doing this? They want to decorate the baby. That's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. The baby is not decorated when the women throw on the baby on the side, jewelry. The baby is annoyed. What is this doing here? To the baby, the jewelry is worthless. It's just an annoyance. It may be your $5,000 gold necklace, but to the baby, it's a nuisance. And the baby doesn't look any more beautiful because next to the baby, there is jewelry, women's jewelry. The men, did you notice? They don't do nothing. The men don't do anything. The men does not. The men, they sit back and do nothing. So I want to suggest that the answer is, by opinion of it, first of all, the men are doing something. The father of the child is giving cash. He's giving 5 siloim. He is giving something. The women, when they come to a pidyon haben, they are expressing their desire. We also want to participate in this. Thus, they go back to the first Jewish fundraising event in history. The first charity, what's it called? Charity. Charity.
Why don't they give money also?
Because look at the first donation of the Beis HaMikdash. The women gave jewelry and the men gave cash. Here's the pasuk. This is the pasuk of Pidyon HaBen. Vayavohu ho'anoshim al hanoshim. The men come together with the women. They have a child. A child has a mother and a father. And what are they giving? They're giving the child to Hashem. A Bechor is Hashem's child. It goes to Hashem. And the Torah says, I don't want your child. I want you to redeem him. But when you present the Bechor to the Kohen, you are presenting a gift. You are, it's an expression that we want to serve you, Hashem. So the man, the husband, he's going to end up giving cash to buy the child back. The women,
you don't give anything, no. You don't have to give cash.
He gives 5 siloim. What do you mean?
Only cash. You give a kind a shirt that's worth.
Bidyavid, yeah. You can give bidyavid. Yes, you can. But that's not the minute. The minute is you give cash. By a wedding, a chassan gives the kal a tabas. By a pidyon haben, the custom is to give cash. You give money. It's a minute. Obviously, it's not ma'ake. I'm just trying to do it. The women, what do they? I also want to participate. So what do? They give jewelry. Why jewelry? Look at this pasuk. This is the makar. Vayavahu hu anashim al hanashim. The men came with the women. The women inspired the men also. They inspired the men. In this pasuk, what do the women give? Jewelry. What do the men give? Cash. Bars of gold.
Does it say cash in the pasuk?
V'chol, because it doesn't say they gave jewelry. It says v'chol asher, v'chol ish asher, heinif tenufas zahav, gold coins, or bars of gold. It doesn't say jewelry. And he explains over here, in this other sefer that I have, it is the derech of Noshim. When they want to give a donation, they give jewelry. They give their jewelry. That is the way the mind of a woman works. Listen, I don't know what that means. That's what it says over here. Listen, I know we have a woman over here that's listening, and I know she's going to forgive me if I say this, right? Mrs. Gladder, can I make a joke? Can I make a joke, Mrs. Gladder?
Okay, go ahead.
You're going to forgive me in advance? That's not a nice joke.
Go ahead, I trust whatever you say.
You forgive me? Well, the men... I have cold feet. I don't want to say no. It's a clean joke, but not everything should be said. It's a world famous joke, but maybe another time. In any event, the derech here of this pasuk is the women donated jewelry. That's what they donated to the Beis HaMikdash. Bracelets, rings, all of these different types of jewelry. Men. It says wego. So now we can understand when it comes to a pidyon haben, by a pidyon haben, when we're trying to show that we want to give to Hashem, the parents are giving their actual child to Hashem, and the father is now going to give a lot of money to show that, you know, I want, if the child is worth 5, the parsha of Arochin, a child that's 30 days old, how much is he worth? He's worth 5 coins. The child is worth $5. Can you imagine? That's what it says. 5 shkolim. United States, the Pentagon values an infant to be worth $6 million. Every child that comes into the world, they put a price on him, $6 million. They need to know that number for statistics, for you know, the actuarial work, to know how, with the value of the American citizen. This potential $6 million for an infant. Maybe by now it's more. The Torah says it's worth 5 shkolim. So the father buys him back for 5 shkolim. But the Noshim, they also want to participate in giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do they give? They go back to the Makar. They go back to the first donations of the Beis HaMikdash. The nations, the women gave jewelry, the men gave cash. That's why the women put on the tray of the child, they put jewelry. It's going back to the Mishkan. All right, we have to stop here. There's more over here, but we're out of time. All right, Amir Shem, tomorrow we'll continue. Thank you very much for coming and making my evening much more meaningful.
Thank you,
okay,
Rabbi.
Good night, everyone. Be well. Rabbi Blazer, thank you for coming, Rabbi Blazer. Good night. Be well, everyone. Zay
gesund.
Good
night.
This man coming back.
He extended his stay for another week. He's not coming back so fast. He likes it there so much. He sends me pictures. He has,
his wife?
No, his wife is here.
Okay,
maybe
that's why
that explains.
That explains.
That's why he extended his stay.
He sends me a picture. Yeah, he calls it his grand dog. His children have a dog. His children own a dog. So he calls their dog his grand dog.
He needs an earring.
All right, everyone, have a wonderful good evening. Good night, everyone. Thank you for coming. Yes.
You know, I'm asking, do you remember he used to come to the share with Mr. Weiss with a cane?
Yes. I speak to him every week.
How's he doing?
I call him every Friday. He's doing very good. Baruch Hashem is doing very good.
So, but you have to invite him to come at to listen at night.
Yeah, you think you'd want to come at night? All right,
to listen.
Okay, I mean, he's very busy. I asked him to come. It's hard for him to come physically. And,
no, I don't come physically. I stay in the comfort of my house and my wife.
Okay. All right, I'll mention it to him. See what he says.
Send him my regards.
Okay, absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure, thank you. Okay, be well. Good night. Good night, everyone. Good night. Heshi, good night. Thanks for coming. Heshi, he already left. Heshi, barf. Okay, Heshi, barf. Okay. Good night. Okay. Zay gesund. Good night.